The recording that you're about to listen to is a talk from the City Bible Forum. We would appreciate you respecting our copyright by not making copies of this talk or altering the content in any way. We hope that you find the material beneficial. If you would like more information on the City Bible Forum, you can visit us on the web at citybibleforum.org.
Well, the alarm clock goes off, bah, 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 and so begins another day. Wake up. Go to work, work, come home from work, have dinner, watch TV, and do it all over again. That was my daily routine when I was in high school. And I'm still doing the same daily routine, so my life has gone nowhere. If anything, it's gone backwards, because we're waking up earlier, coming home later, we have more debt, more responsibility, and less freedom. And after a while, we start asking this question, why? What is the point? Where am I going with this daily grind? So welcome to today. Today our topic is this: how can I survive the daily grind? And we'll come in the form of a 20-minute talk from me now, where I look at the daily grind from a Christian perspective. And afterwards there'll be time for question and answer. We'll have some mics that will go around and you can ask me any question that you want to ask. We can define the daily grind as this: it's us just doing the same thing day after day after day. And in the Bible, there's a passage called Ecclesiastes, written by a writer from thousands of years ago, where he shares the Bible's wisdom with us. And he says this: what has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. The Bible writer is asking the same question as us: how do I survive this daily grind? I'm just doing the same thing day after day after day. Where is the joy? What am I gaining? What is the point of the daily grind? Well, to answer this, there'll be two halves to this talk. In the first half, we'll look at problems with the daily grind. And in the second half of the talk, we'll look at, well, what might some solutions be to our daily grind? So let's begin. What are the problems with our daily grind? And here I suggest at least two things. Number one, we are just doing the same thing day after day. Every day, bum, 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 bum. Wake up, go to work, work, come home from work, eat dinner, go to sleep, and just do the same thing day after day after day. I'm just catching the same bus every day. I'm eating the same food every day. I'm doing the same work every day. I remember a while ago, I broke my hand, and so my right arm had to be in a plaster cast. So I had to do everything one-handed. And it's very hard doing things one-handed. It's very hard to put the toothbrush with one hand. It's very hard getting toilet paper with only one hand. So I'd go, dum, 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 dum. A while ago, my wife also broke a hand, and she had her arm in a plaster cast. So it was my job as a husband to do her hair every morning. I had to put the scrunchie on, and guys, let me tell you, it's a lot harder than you realize to put the scrunchie on. There's also another problem with having a plaster cast, and it's this: after a while, your muscles waste away from just being in the same position day after day. And doctors will tell you there's a worse problem. You will pick up pressure sores as well, and you won't even notice them because you are numb to the pain. And that's what the daily grind feels like. I'm just doing the same thing day after day, and I feel like my whole life is wasting away. And I've just become numb to the pain of it all. I'm catching my bus on autopilot. I'm eating my food like a zombie. I'm at work like a robot. And have you noticed I've just used words like autopilot, zombie, robot? They're very dehumanizing words. There's something very dehumanizing and painful about our repetitive daily routine. So that's the first problem with the daily grind. The second problem is this: what is the point of us doing the same thing day after day? In Greek mythology, they have the story of Sisyphus. And as you know, Sisyphus was punished by the gods to roll a big rock up a hill at the start of the day. And at the end of the day, when he got to the top of the hill with a rock, he had to boom, 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 just let it roll all the way back down the hill. And so the next day, he had to do the same thing all over again, day after day. And that was his punishment from the gods. And that's how we feel doing the same thing day after day. What is the point? This feels like punishment. Every year, we make the same New Year's resolutions. Every year, we say, this year for sure, I will eat less, drink less, exercise more. And then at the end of the year, we think, I didn't do any of that. None of the resolutions happened. We didn't have the neighbors over for barbecue. We never cleaned the garage out. What did we gain? Like when 2018 comes, we are where we were before at the start of 2017. Every day we log in onto our computers at work and there's a mountain of emails and bim, 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 bim. We knock our way off through the emails and the next day when we log in, there they are again. We are like Sisyphus pushing the rock up the hill, trying to work our way through the emails. A few years ago, my wife and I finally bought a house. So every month we have to make mortgage payments. Every month we put the money in the mortgage, and every month the mortgage looks like it's exactly the same size it was before. You think, what are we gaining from this? We are going nowhere. And the Bible writer says the same thing. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. We don't seem to make any difference. The sun rises, the sun sets, hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south, it turns to the north, round and round it goes, ever returning to its course. We are gaining nothing. We're back to where we started. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. That's the problem with our daily grind. We're just doing the same thing and we don't feel like we are going anywhere. So what might the solution be? Here I suggest the Bible gives us at least two solutions. The first thing is this. We need to reframe the way we look at the world and reframe the way we look at our daily grind. Maybe there's a childlike wonder and beauty to our daily grind. I remember at the end of high school, a bunch of us high school guys were hung around in the park next to the school, and then there's this old man just running laps around the park, just doing the same lap over and over again. And after a while, being high school boys, we thought, let's have a bit of fun with this. So we formed a cheer squad, a human tunnel. So every time he came around, he had to run through the tunnel. And we clapped and we cheered him on. And he loved it. Every time he ran around, he had his arms raised in this mock celebration. And he loved it. But hang on, what are we cheering? He's not making any net distance. His net distance is zero. He's not in a race. He's not getting a time. He's not getting a place. Well, what we're loving is this. We are in the moment and we're just enjoying it for what it is. Maybe we don't have to gain anything. There's a childlike wonder, beauty and joy in doing the same thing over and over again. And maybe we need to reframe the way we see our daily routine. I have three young boys, and as a father, it's my job to read them the bedtime story. And every time it's time to read the story, they say, "We want the bike lesson." And I go, "We are not doing the bike lesson." "No, we want the bike lesson." I say, "No, we are not doing the bike lesson." We do that every night, over and over again. "Let's read something new." And they say, "No, we want the bike lesson." So I go, "Okay, let's do the bike lesson again." And they go, "Yay, it's the bike lesson." They love hearing the same story over and over again. There's a childlike beauty and wonder and joy in doing the same thing over and over again. So my job is to be a public speaker. And let's say we turn up next week and we did this again. And if I gave you the same talk, you would go, "Boo, boo, get off. We've heard this talk before. Boo, get off, rubbish." But let's say I was a rock star like Bruce Springsteen or a pop star like Taylor Swift. And I sang you a song you had heard before. You'd be going, "Oh, I love this song. Oh my gosh! And you'd be singing the words along with me. Now, this is Cold Chisel. If you don't know who they are, that's because you're Asian. But they're a very, very big group in Australia. So a little while ago, they had a concert, only 2 years ago, and a nurse from work went to hear them. And afterwards, I said to her, how was the Cold Chisel concert? And she went, oh, they kept trying to play their new stuff. We wanted to hear their old stuff. So somehow we do want to hear the same stories and the same songs over and over and over again. Every January, we have a family beach holiday where we go away to a beach and we just stay there for a while. And I've noticed there are three phases to a beach holiday. The first phase, you are just de-stressing from work. In the middle phase, you are relaxed. But there's a final phase where you think, okay, I'm over this. I need a routine. And then you go back. You go back home, and my boys love it. They love coming home. They go, wow, we're home again. Look, this is where we left everything. So, yes, we need a holidays. Yes, we need disruption. Yes, we need change. Yes, we need to mix it up. But at the same time, we thrive on a daily routine. So I work in surgery. And as a doctor, we want every operation to go just like the one before it. We don't like new or surprise in operations. In an operation, we do not want to say, huh, that's never happened before. We want boring in an operation. We just want it to happen the same way over and over and over again. Now, this is a metronome. And at this stage, every Asian groaned. Every non-Asian think, what is that? Well, if you, it's a metronome. So every Asian here was forced to learn the piano, which is always interesting because no Asian parent wants you to be a professional musician. If you say, Mum and Dad, I want to be a musician, they'll be going, no, you want to be a doctor or lawyer. Well, why are you making me learn the piano? But we all had to put up with the metronome. Tick, 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 because it kept us in time. It's what makes music beautiful, the rhythm, the tempo, the repetition. We want the same thing over and over and over again. And it's what makes science so beautiful, that an experiment is repeatable. The whole premise of science is this: if your experiment is valid, it needs to be repeatable. Do the same thing over and over and over again. In chemistry, we want water to always be H2O. We don't want water to suddenly say, hey, you know what, I want to be H1304 today. No, you need to be H2O. For life to exist on this planet, you need always to be H2O. We want the sine curve to always do what the sine curve does. We want gravity to always be 10 meters per second squared. In medicine, we want the hemoglobin oxygen desaturation curve to always do the same thing over and over and over again for us to be alive. So maybe we need to reframe the way we see our daily routine and see the childlike beauty, wonder, and joy in the routine. So we reread the passage, and I owe this observation to my Old Testament teacher, Kirk Patston. This is what Ecclesiastes might be saying to us. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. How does that happen? The wind blows to the south, turns to the north, round and round it goes, ever turning on its course. Wow! How does that happen? All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. How does that happen? This is the water cycle. There should be a beauty, a wonder, and joy in what we see here. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. There is beauty, wonder, and joy in the rhythms and repetitions of life. I caught a train today, and it came at the same time as it did yesterday. Wow, how did that happen? I turn up to work today, and they still gave me the same job. Wow, how did that happen? I went to the same place for lunch today and they didn't run out of food from yesterday. Wow, how did that happen? We need to reframe the way we see our life and see the beauty and joy in the rhythm and repetition of our daily routine. But if so, maybe there's a second thing we can also learn, and it's this. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their work, in their daily routine. This is the gift of God. Maybe our daily routine is a good gift from a good God to enjoy. But if so, I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. And in the Bible, fear doesn't mean that narrow meaning. It's a richer, fuller meaning. To love God, to worship him, to be in awe and in wonder, and to know him personally. So if there is a God behind the rhythm, if there is beauty and joy in our rhythm, there must be a good God behind it. And so true joy, full satisfaction will be found in knowing this God and being in rhythm with this God. See, again, if there is beauty and joy in our daily routine, then there must be a God who loves us enough to give us this beauty and joy in our daily routine. See, basically, we have two choices. Choice number one is this. I am just atoms and molecules. I am just another species of life on this planet. And I just live each day, day after day. And the events in my life, that's all they are. They're just events. If you try to make a story or meaning out of them, that's just your wish fulfillment. Because in the end, I'm just atoms and molecules, and events just happen to me. And this is my daily grind. But we can have a second choice, and it's this. There's a God who loves me, who made me. And so there is meaning and purpose and hope in my daily grind. I might just see the little events each day, but he's got the bigger picture. I've just got the jigsaw puzzle pieces, but he's got the whole picture. There's a story bigger than just my own story that I am part of. I remember when I was a medical student, I had to do a turn in the antenatal clinic where I would see patients, women who are in their 30 or 40 weeks of pregnancy. And it was my job to get the ultrasound probe and to try to find the baby's heartbeat. And because I was only a student, it was actually harder than it looked. And you'd be moving this thing around and you could not find the baby's heartbeat. But finally, you'd get the angle just right, the position just right, and then you would hear it. Whoosh, 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 and it was so loud, so clear. You wonder how you missed it in the first place. And it's the same with us. In the rhythm and the repetition of our daily grind, if we listen hard enough, we will hear it, the whoosh, the whoosh, the whoosh, the heartbeat of the God who is behind it, the God who programs the beauty and the joy and purpose in our daily grind. And it means so much to God that we will know him so we can enjoy this beauty, that he sends his son Jesus so we can know him. In the Bible, there's this amazing verse, and it comes in the New Testament section of the Bible, in a book called John, in the very first chapter, and it says this, that the Logos became life. The Logos, that's the Greek word. And in English, we usually narrowly translate it into the Word. The Word became life. But Logos really means the logic, the purpose, the rhythm, the tempo of the universe became flesh. He became Jesus. So Jesus is the rhythm, the tempo, the logic behind the universe. He comes to us as a person. And if we know him, we will know the God behind the universe. And we can enjoy the rhythm and the repetition for what it is, a good gift from a good God to enjoy. So how can we survive the daily grind? Today I've suggested two things. Number one, see the beauty in the daily repetition of life. It's a good gift from a good God to enjoy. But if so, number two, know this God and be in rhythm, not just with our daily routine, but with a God who's behind the universe. Now, a little while ago, my car broke down, so I had to junk it. And my parents gave me their car to have as my car. Now, there are two ways I can tell you this story. This is the first way I can tell you this story. This is my car. Yes, it's economical. Yes, it's reliable. Yes, it gets me from point A to point B. But practical, well, it's just really a glorified shopping trolley on wheels. Why can't this be my car? Why did my parents give me this for a car? So that's one way to tell the story. But there's a second way to tell the story. This is my car. No, it's not fast. No, it's not sexy. But you know what? It's reliable. It's economical. Gets me from point A to point B. But most importantly, it's a gift from my parents. So I know I have parents who love me and support me. There are two ways we can tell our story. One way is this. This is my life. Why does this have to be my life? Why can't I be an astronaut, a brain surgeon, or a rock star? Look at me doing the same thing every day over and over again. That's one way. But there's a second way. It's this. You know, there's a God who loves me, and he made me, and he's behind the beauty and the repetition in my life. No, I'm not a brain surgeon. No, I'm not a rock star. No, I'm not an astronaut. But my life is a gift from a good God to enjoy. So I know there's a God who loves me and he supports me. And he has a purpose, meaning, and a hope for what happens in my life. So how can we survive our daily routine? Reframe how we see it. See the beauty and the joy. And then worship the God who's behind the beauty and joy in our life. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Do you reckon the whole social media and perhaps advertising has got us more discontent over the last 5 years or so, and that's made us a little bit dour?
You know, I had never thought of it that way, but it's very possible, because they did an experiment with monkeys where you give a monkey two bananas, that monkey is so happy. Oh, I got two bananas. Until you give the monkey next to him three bananas. And suddenly now the monkey's very unhappy. How come I've only got two bananas, but, you know, he's got three bananas? And I think that's what social media does. You know, I'm going to work. Whoa, but my friend's in Switzerland skiing. You know, like suddenly that makes you very unhappy. So in absolute terms, we should be happy. But in relative terms, maybe social media makes us feel like we're missing out. Yeah, it's very profound. I never thought of it that way.
Any other questions? Sean, just wait for the mic, Sean. Thanks. I don't know everyone's name here, just Sean. No, just
What would you say for someone whose daily grind is like battling through working till 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, midnight, 1 a.m. and things like that, and they're grappling with, you know, would God ever want a person to go through this? And if they think maybe, you know, I'm supposed to be, how do I manage?
Yeah, so several things. Like, so the question was, well, what if my daily grind is really bad, like till 10 o'clock, long hours, that sort of thing? Well, if we can't change the circumstances, then we got to see work for what it is. So work helps. The Bible says there are many layers that work gives us value. One is it helps pay the bills so we can support ourselves, and it lets us be generous to others. So work is good that way. Secondly, work is good in and of itself because it's just how God has designed and wired us. And it's a good gift. Work is a good gift from a good God to enjoy. And in rival mythologies of the time, work was a curse. Work was something slaves did, or work was punishment from the gods. Whereas in the Christian worldview, work is a good gift from a good God to enjoy. It's how we're wired. And they've done studies like if you can't find work, the rate of depression is 100%. So work is almost a cure by itself of you know, depression from finding no work. And then the Bible also says work is an outlet for creativity, autonomy, and freedom. So somehow in all forms of work, we are creating something, bringing logic out of disorder, beauty where there was no beauty, and reason where there was no reason. So we are creating something. So it's purposeful in and of itself. And usually there's a reward attached to work. You know, like you get to just, even if you just mow the lawn, there's this moment where you get to see your lawn being mowed. So it's good for all those things. And then in the New Testament, it says more than that, we need to see workers, we're working for Jesus, not just for our earthly corporations, but somehow this is part of Jesus' purpose. So I explain it's like Mr. Miyagi, so in Karate Kid, where the Karate Kid is like frustrated. Why are you making me just paint a fence over and over again, wax the car, wax on, wax off? But then we realized there was a wisdom and purpose, because Mr. Miyagi in the karate tournament this became, the karate moves that won you the tournament. So sometimes where we are, we can't see the wisdom or purpose in us doing the same routine till 10 o'clock every night. But somehow we can trust Jesus. Okay, you have a reason. But then if we can change our circumstances, I think sometimes the Bible says you have the wisdom and the freedom and the responsibility every now and then to reassess, like, okay, can I be more productive somewhere else? Is there better use of my autonomy and creativity, my personality and my aptitude?
Excellent. Any other questions?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How do you deal with a lack of time in your daily grind?
So the question is, how do you deal with a lack of time in your daily grind? I remember listening to Stephen Bidoff talk about this on parenting seminars as well, because we're also time poor. So one thing is just, I guess, again, if we have the power and autonomy to do so, just be more realistic about what we're trying to achieve in a day. So often we're overly optimistic in what we can achieve. So they found that people who are always running late are usually optimists, because they think they can squeeze in a second thing or a third thing into the routine. And also maybe, again, reassessing what life stage am I in, because Al Stewart, my boss, he quotes to me Lisa Pryor's work, The Pinstripe Prison, where you can only have four burners going on in life. One is family, one is friends, one is fitness, and one is work or career. And you can have all four grumbling along, but if you want to be good at your work, you got to turn off one of the other burners. It might be fitness, friends, or family. But if you want to excel and be excellent and be successful, then you got to turn off two of the other burners. So you might have to turn off fitness and friends and just keep family going. But now it means you've got to recognize, what life stage am I in? What choices do I have to make? So when you're single, that's when you can invest into career. But when you have family, that's maybe when you have to turn down career. So Stephen Bidoff would say, if you have children below the age of 14, that is not the time to seek the promotion. That is not the time to look for the book deal. You should have done that before or after they're 14, but not in this sweet moment. And 4 years ago, I actually was in between work, and I thought of going back to medicine and specializing in surgery. And all the surgeons said, no, that is the wrong time now. You have young children. You're going to come out when they're 16 and go, ta-da, I'm a surgeon. And they're going to look at you, oh, but where were you when we needed you? So just recognizing life stages. And I'll just throw one more in. So I used to invest a lot into fitness. So I used to do marathon running. And so when we had one baby, I would ask my wife for permission to go out for the long training run. And she'd go, yeah, of course you can go. When we had two babies, I'd say, hey, can I go for my long run? And she'd look at me like, oh, are you sure? And when we had a third one, she'll look at me like, you're kidding. You're kidding. Like, you are not going. And even the Bible says the same thing. Paul writes in Corinthians saying, you know, a single person can devote themselves fully, even to the work of the Lord, ministry, but a married person cannot. You have to devote yourself to your family at that moment. So just realizing what life stage we're in, being realistic about how much we can get done in a day. Maybe we're frustrated because our boss has unrealistic expectations and we ourselves have unrealistic expectations.
The recording that you have just listened to is from the City Bible Forum. For more information about City Bible Forum events in your city, or to order other talks, please visit citybibleforum.org.